Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Treaty Over Taxes edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On March 19, 2019, the Supreme Court decided Washington State Department of Licensing versus Cougar Den, Inc., a case involving the 1855 treaty between the United States and the Yakima Nation of Indians, and whether the right to travel granted within the treaty preempts the state's fuel tax on the importation of fuel. Cougar Den, Inc. is a wholesale fuel importer that is owned by a member of the Yakima Nation. Cougar Den imports fuel from Oregon via Washington public highways to the Yakima Reservation, where it is sold to Yakima-owned gas stations within the reservation. In 2013, because Cougar Den imports the gas by using Washington public highways, the Washington State Department of Licensing assessed the importer $3.6 million in taxes, penalties, and licensing fees. Cougar Den appealed to the Washington Superior Court, claiming that the 1855 treaty between the United States and the Yakima Nation preempts this tax, since it reserves, among other things, the right in common with citizens of the United States to travel upon all public highways. The Washington Superior Court held that the tax was preempted by the treaty, and the Washington Supreme Court affirmed that judgment on appeal. Washington then petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court for certiorari, arguing that the 1855 treaty does not forbid the state from imposing a statewide tax on all fuel importers who transport fuel via ground transportation, including those members of the Yakima Nation. The Supreme Court granted certiorari to consider whether the 1855 treaty preempts this importation tax on members of the Yakima Nation. By a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the Supreme Court of Washington, but without a majority opinion. Justice Breyer, joined by Justices Sotomayor and Kagan, concluded for a plurality that the right to travel provision of the 1855 treaty between the United States and the Yakima Nation of Indians preempts the state's fuel tax as applied to Cougar Den's importation of fuel by public highway for sale within the reservation. Justices Gorsuch and Ginsburg filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, thereby providing the necessary additional votes to affirm the lower court, but on a different rationale. Unchallenged factual findings as to the Yakima's understanding of the 1855 treaty terms, they reasoned, indicate that the treaty does not permit encumbrances on the ability of tribal members to bring their goods to and from market. Chief Justice Roberts dissented, joined by Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. Justice Kavanaugh also filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justice Thomas. And now, to discuss the case, we have Tom Getty, principal at Morgan Lewis.
In this mildly fractured decision, the court addressed whether an 1855 treaty with the Yakima Nation preempts a state tax imposed on certain fuel importers. The court issued a plurality decision, a concurring opinion, and two dissenting opinions. It appears that two newest justices of the Supreme Court want to give their voice to the court, as both Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh penned their own opinions, one concurring in the plurality and the other setting forth a separate dissent. While the two are at odds in this case, much as they flank the ends of the bench, their separate opinions show their independence and clear lack of timidity. Flanking the ends of the bench may be a figurative expression, but in the matter of American Indian law, it may well be the case that the two justices have differently developing approaches to the field. For now, the opinions point to a more tribal approach from Justice Gorsuch and a less friendly approach from Justice Kavanaugh. But the means to get there relate to how the two viewed the textual language of the treaty involved. And fascinated as we might be by the new justices, we shouldn't ignore the plurality decision authored by Justice Breyer and the primary dissenting opinion authored by Chief Justice Roberts. It's just interesting to watch the two new members and see where they are headed. In truth, the four opinions are not on remote islands. The two opinions on each of the two sides of the decision are relatively close, which is why I suggested that the decision is only mildly fractured. Let's examine what's going on. This case arises from Washington State, which attempted to impose its usual tax on motor vehicle fuel importers on Cougar Den, Inc., a wholesale fuel importer owned by a member of the Yakima Nation and incorporated under Yakima law. Here, Cougar Den was importing fuel from Oregon to the Yakima Nation over public highways in Washington State when the State Department of Licensing assessed taxes, penalties, and fees against Cougar Den. The company appealed, arguing the tax was preempted by the 1855 treaty between the United States and the Yakima Nation. That treaty reserves the Yakima's, quote, right in common with citizens of the United States to travel upon all public highways, close quote. The Washington Supreme Court affirmed a trial court finding that the tax was in fact preempted, and certiorari was granted to review the question. While the opinion of the court is a little fractured, the differences are small. The plurality opinion, announced by Justice Breyer and joined by Justices Sotomayor and Kagan, concludes the treaty preempts the state tax, focusing on the fact the tax is imposed on fuel that enters the state by ground transportation, and thus it involved travel on public highways. The plurality walks through multiple steps in analyzing the tax statute at issue. The plurality notes, quote, Washington does not just tax possession of fuel or even importation of fuel, but instead taxes importation by ground transportation, close quote. The bottom line for the plurality is that the tax is, in essence, a tax on travel. When placing this against the terms of the treaty, the plurality finds the tax operates upon the Yakimas when they are exercising their treaty-protected right to travel. The plurality rests on precedent, on how the tribe would have understood the terms in the treaty, and that the language in common with is not limited to the tribe's right against discrimination. The plurality continues with the finding that travel with goods is contemplated by the treaty, and the tax on travel with goods and trade burdens the treaty right. Justice Gorsuch, joined by Justice Ginsburg, penned a concurrence where he articulates the notion that the tribe would have understood, quote, in common with, close quote, to mean without restriction. Relying on a 1905 Indian law case, United States versus Winans, the concurrence posits the treaty right here is not meant to subject the tribe to the same regulation and the same fees as non-Indians. In Winans, it was the right to fish, but that the tribe is free to travel off the reservation without regulation, the same as on the reservation. Justice Gorsuch does emphasize that the tribe understood some regulation on the highways was necessary to protect them, the same as it protects the non-Indian. But as he writes, this is not a challenge to a state highway speed limit or other critical highway safety regulation. Ultimately, Justice Gorsuch uses the concurrence to amplify and deepen the plurality opinion. The dissent, penned by Chief Justice Roberts and joined by Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh, focuses on the possession of the goods as not encompassed by the right to travel. The right to travel with or without goods is not violated, the Chief Justice writes, by placing a burden on the possession of those goods. The dissent opines that because Washington is taxing Cougar Den for possessing motor fuel, there is no violation of the treaty's terms. Washington, he writes, is not taxing Cougar Den for traveling on the highways with or without goods. Looking back at the concurrence, Justice Gorsuch takes aim at the Chief Justice's possession argument and fires back, quote, it's impossible to transport goods without possessing them. So a tax that falls on the Yakima's possession of goods as they travel to and from market on the highway violates the treaty just as much as a tax on travel alone would. But not to leave this matter alone, Justice Kavanaugh penned a separate dissent in which Justice Thomas joined. Again, like the concurrence to the plurality, the separate dissent does not stray too far from the Chief Justice's dissent, but adds color to it. He starts off noting he joined the Chief Justice because he does not see the fuel tax as a highway regulation, and thus it does not infringe on the tribe's treaty right to travel on the public highways. But then Justice Kavanaugh goes a bit further to posit his view that the treaty language, quote, in common with, close quote, permits non-discriminatory restriction on the Indians the same as non-Indians. He thinks the plurality and concurrence read the text of in common with as meaning exempt from regulations that apply to other citizens. His textualist approach probably does not comport with the standard in the court's Indian law precedent, but Justice Kavanaugh tackles it anyway, noting that in some of the court's Indian law cases, the fishing regulations at issue were discriminatory in effect, even though non-discriminatory on their face. Thus, he writes, non-discriminatory regulation of public highways does not deprive tribal members of their use of the highways or travel. He opines that Washington's facially non-discriminatory fuel tax is non-discriminatory in effect and therefore does not violate the treaty travel right. That the Chief Justice and Justice Alito did not join Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Thomas might indicate they were simply unwilling to go so far as Justice Kavanaugh has here. But it is interesting nonetheless to see how Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh have bracketed the court on this Indian law case. In the end, I expect we will see more of it as they assert themselves in the developing Indian law jurisprudence of the Supreme Court.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.